Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name is Dusty Slay. I'm your host, and we're back. I have been sick. Nothing bad, but I had a sore throat, and I think it's sinus related. I don't know, but last week I was out. I was doing a little stuff in my greenhouse. I have not a greenhouse. It's basically some PVC pipes built in an arch way, and then a plastic over top. Very well done, but I don't know if I'd call it a greenhouse. The people who lived in the house before me built it, but it was just full of just junk. So I was out there cleaning it up, messing around in there. And the next day I woke up, had a little bit of a sore throat, not a big deal. But then that day I spent the entire day organizing the garage. I got really into it because the same sort of thing. I had a lot of stuff that I brought over from my old house to here, and everything, you know, kind of went into the garage that I didn't really know what to do with, combined with a lot of stuff they left. Because a lady was a big-time gardener, and I guess where she went, she wasn't going to have a garden. So she left so much gardening stuff, and a lot of it is great, and I want to keep. But I needed to go through it to really find out what was in there. And just a lot of dust that I was messing around with that day. And then I went to the cabin and rode the zero turnaround, cutting grass. And I did all this. And then on Saturday, I woke up. By the end of the day Saturday, I was starting to feel sick. And then Sunday, boom, sore throat. And I thought, well, let's rest up today, and then I'll feel better tomorrow. Because on Monday, I was supposed to do, Sunday, I was supposed to do a podcast. I know it was talked about on the Facebook group. I was supposed to do the Ninjas or Butterflies podcast, but I felt so bad on Sunday, I couldn't do it. But I thought I'll be better on Monday. I had a few things to do, the Nate Land podcast, and then I was supposed to host a show that night. I knew I couldn't do it. So I skipped both of those. I called in sick. And then even Tuesday, what's today? Today's Wednesday. Even Tuesday, I woke up not feeling great. As the day went along, I started to feel better. I did a little guest spot on a Steve Burns show down at Zany's, and then today I woke up, sore throat again, but I had a couple of podcasts on the books that I was like, I got to do these. These have been scheduled through my management for some time now, so I was like, I got to get it together. And then I got shows this weekend. I'll be in Elkhart. I'm told it's Elkhart. You don't pronounce the H. It's spelled elk like the deer, and then H-A-R-T, Elkhart. But apparently it's pronounced Elkhart. Was corrected on my ad, Elkhart. But I think mispronouncing cities on a video on the internet gets more views because people comment to correct you. So I think that's what I'll do. I'll mispronounce all cities from now on. And then I'll be in Chicago on Saturday. So Elkhart on Friday, Chicago on Saturday. Those dates, just in case, November 7th and 8th. And then the 14th, I'll be in York, Pennsylvania. And then the 15th, Tysons, Virginia. 21st, Wausau, Wisconsin. 22nd, Green Bay, Wisconsin. And that'll round out the month. But I still don't feel great today. Physically, I feel fine. Honestly, I'm a little tired, but physically I feel fine. It's just my throat. So the problem is all my jobs involve talking. So I'm just, I'm just really doing it, but I don't want to miss doing this podcast. I've been on a good roll. I have missed a few Nate Lands, but it's been more or less scheduling conflicts. I forget why. Oh, I missed one because I had a lot going on, and then they had that guy from Scary Movie on. So I knew they'd be talking about, those movies, and I don't really care about those. And there would be five people on the podcast, so I felt like it's okay to skip. And then the next one with Leanne, I was traveling for a corporate gig. They did that one on a different day than normal, so I missed that one. And then now I'm sick. I hated to miss the one with Nate's dad, though. I really like Stephen Bargatze. He's a really fun guy, so I hated to miss that one. But he came in because I couldn't do it, so. But I'll be back. Next week, I'll be back. I just wanted to try to rest up as much as possible. The ticket sales this weekend are very good, and so I want to be in good health to put on a good show. But life's good. Other than the sore throat and all that, life's good. I didn't do shows this weekend. So I just went out to the cabin and did some stuff like that. I wanted to start off with a thing. Someone sent me this, podcast listener. I appreciate them sending this to me. It is from Dr. Axe, Dr. Josh Axe, his Instagram. He says, "The Bible warns us about unclean foods, especially pork and shellfish. Modern science shows us exactly why. Parasites, heavy metals, and toxins thrive in those foods. The biblical diet wasn't random. It was protective, preventative, and deeply wise. God was guarding his people's health long before we had microscopes and labs." That's what I've been saying. And then he says, in his comments, he makes that post, and then his comments, he gets scared. He goes, "I don't believe it's a sin to eat pork, but from a health perspective, it's not worth it." I appreciate him saying this, but yeah, I don't guess I'm saying it's a sin to eat pork, but you know, when we're reading the Old Testament and God says, "Hey, don't do this," I think we should, try to abide by what God is telling us to do, right? So it's like, it feels like we always get caught up on like, is this a biblical issue or is it not? Is it a salvation issue or is it not? Because after it says, after God in Leviticus 11, it says, after he gives all this deep list of dietary laws, he says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast and the fowl and every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten." So again, it's like, I guess me and Dr. Josh Axe agree that, I don't know, maybe it's not a sin, but God is being like, "Hey, do this and don't do that." And so it makes sense that we would just, not do that. And I get it. A lot of people own barbecue restaurants. A lot of people's families owned pig farms. A lot of these homesteading channels that I watch and listen to, they talk about raising pigs because it's cheap and easy to take care of. They talk about raising ducks because it's cheap and easy to take care of, and duck eggs are big, but, you know, they're unclean. We're not supposed to be eating them. So I just thought it was fun. I love to see Dr. Josh Axe on board. I've been into Dr. Axe for a while because he sells collagen. I got off the collagen kick for a while, but I'm back on it now. I love that. I made a beef broth. I don't know if I've talked about this already, but I went to the farmer's market, bought a couple of beef bones, big kind of beefy bones with joints, and I boiled it down, made a real thick gel. Oh, I did talk about it because I was talking about like a jelly and a collagen in there, but it's good. It's delicious. We made a chicken broth this week that I've been eating every day since I've been sick. Hasn't done anything for my throat. I haven't had a sore throat for this long in a while. It's not been severe. It's not like strep throat. It's not like I can't live out here. Mainly, I skipped Monday because it was going to be a, it's a 2-hour podcast first off, and then it would be another show that I was hosting. It was a music show for my agency, so I figured there'd be a lot of agent types there, industry people. So I would be hosting a show where I'd be continuously going up throughout the night, probably talking over a loud audience, and then also having a lot of conversation while I wasn't on stage with people about various things, and I just wasn't up for it. I did a thing not too long ago that I'm not allowed to talk about, but it was an event that I hosted, and I had to yell basically the whole night, and my throat, my voice was almost gone by the time it was done. But I'm into Josh Axe, Dr. Axe. I don't know what to call the guy. We're not on a first name basis, but he's calling himself Dr. Josh Axe. And I love this post. I'm into it. And I just think, I guess the point is if we're looking at it just from strictly a health aspect, and God's being like, hey, don't eat this. This is bad for you. And then we eat it. And then we like have health problems, it just feels like it puts us in a weird spot, right? Like if God goes, hey, don't eat this stuff, this is bad for your health. And then we go, yeah, but it's not a sin though, right? So we'll just eat it anyway. We appreciate the heads up, but we're not going to listen to you. We appreciate the heads up. We know you're just looking out for our health, but we're just going to do whatever we want. And then we get sick and then we go, heal us, God. And I'm not judging people. I'm just talking frankly, because every time I talk about health, people go, oh, this guy tells you not to eat pork, and then he's out here smoking cigars and weed and whatever, tells you not to do something. I get it. That's why I don't tell people not to do things. But I'm just pointing out what the Bible says, and if we do think something's a genuine health concern, but we go, but it's not a sin, so I'll continue to do it because I enjoy it, I think we should just be careful of that. Every cooking show I watch out here, they put bacon in everything. I mean, everything they're cooking, they go, yeah, render a little bacon fat in here and get that going. I think all processed meats like that are bad. Like, there's a pizza place near us that serves beef pepperoni. And I've questioned them many times because Hannah will go, it's beef pepperoni. And I go, I don't know. I don't trust them. Because you go in and you go, hey, is this pepperoni beef or pork? Because I don't eat pork. They go, yeah, it's beef. And I go, I don't know. I feel like you're just saying it to get me to buy it. But I talk to them about it. And they go, yeah, we don't have any pork products in the whole store. And I go, oh, that's awesome. So we'll get that there. And I like it. But I don't think any processed meat like that is good, even if it's beef. And we talked about marshmallows last podcast. But I just thought it was cool. I was like, just wanted to reiterate that. I love talking about not eating pork because I was a big pork guy. You know what I mean? So it's like when you give it up, and then you don't even look back on it, and you don't even miss it, really. It's like, yeah, it's not good. People love to talk about how oysters are good for you because they have omega fats or whatever, but I just ate some sardines. I ate sardines out of a can. put them on a little cracker. I love it. I bought some good crackers, some good seed crackers, and I put a little sardine on there, a little piece of sardine and a little avocado. It's delicious. And you still get those omegas, good for the heart, and it's clean. And it's delicious. You know, when I was growing up and we would go hunting, my dad used to dog hunt. Like he would have he wasn't hunting dogs. Well, that's kind of what you were doing. But he would have these hunting dogs and he would keep them out in a pen away from the house. And we would have to go in there and feed them. I got scratched in the face by a dog. I wasn't really afraid of the dogs, but they would jump up on us and I got scratched in the face by a dog. I wasn't trying to do anything but jump up and get food or I don't know. And we would have to go feed them. And then my dad would have a dog box on the back of the truck. So we'd load the dogs up in the dog box, close the tailgate. And then you'd go down to the hunting club and there'd be a bunch of men in their trucks and their dog boxes. And everybody would sit around and they would probably drink. And I don't know what they were doing. My dad never really drank, not around me anyway. And then we would go, and then they had all had CB radios. So we'd all go post up at various spots, and then some people would drive somewhere and let the dogs out. And then the dogs would chase the deer, and I guess the deer would come running at you, and then you'd shoot it, right? I never killed a deer. I never saw a deer while I was hunting. So I didn't hunt a lot, but I never even saw one. I wanted to. I don't know if I could do it now. You know, I feel like I've talked about this before, but I feel like I'm too much of a hippie. I don't think there's anything wrong with shooting deer, especially if you're going to eat it. And a lot of people say you do help the deer from starving by thinning the herd. And I agree with that. But I also, living in the area that I live in Nashville, you just watch all the woods be bulldozed all the time. So then it's like, oh, more deer starving now, better kill more. And I get it. I'm not even like a bleeding heart about it. I just think I've become too much of a hippie to go hunting. But we would go do that. We would go do that. And then after the dogs run for a while, either someone gets a deer or they don't. And then you have to get in the truck and you ride around the dirt roads in the truck looking for the dogs. You have to then catch the dogs and round them up. So we're riding around on the CBs going, I hear a dog coming around here. I'm down here, you know, on, County Road 401, and I hear them dogs. They're howling, 10-4, breaker 1-9, you know, that sort of stuff. And then midday we would take a break and we would all eat sardines and crackers and Vienna sausages. I don't know why that was a thing. I think we were all fully capable of making a lunch with sandwiches in there and stuff, but it just felt like everybody out there was just eating sardines and crackers like it was the only way we could get lunch. I bet we could have had a whole grill set up out there and cooked some steaks and some hamburgers. Maybe even smoke some kind of deer meat out there that we would eat. But for whatever reason, we were all eating sardines. And this was real cheap sardines in a can. And my whole point in telling all that was that, you know, you can buy better sardines. There are better sardines than those little bitty ones. They taste better. They don't smell any better, but they do taste better. And I do think they're very good for you. So I recommend it. I've been raking a lot of leaves. I got a leaf raker, one that you can push and it little thing spins and it pushes it up in a basket. Fills up pretty quick, but I've been able to get a lot of bags of leaves. That's nice. I finally got my own leaves. That's where I'm at in my life and career is I finally afforded myself my own leaves. I'm still driving around looking for other people's leaves, but people do not seem to be bagging them up. But I'm looking for them. If you bag them up, put them out by the road, I'll pick them up. I wish I had an app, some kind of like app where people could log on to the app and show where their leaves are at, and then I'll go pick them up. Because I'm trying to get a lot of leaves. What I'm trying to do in the greenhouse, I know my podcast is a little scattered today, but in the greenhouse, what I want to do is take everything out of there, this grass that's growing up in there, and then I want to put, I kind of want to kill the grass. I kind of want to spray poison in there, kill the grass, and then put cardboard down over top of that grass that I've killed, and then put a little topsoil over it, and then put leaves down to let it all winter just kind of break down. Everything just kind of break down in there all winter. And then in the spring, plant some stuff in the greenhouse. I want to plant my fig trees out there because I wonder, I have these Alabama fig trees that I brought up, and I wonder if that's not a breed of fig that will not ripen in the Tennessee climate, because the fig trees grew up this year. Now that house is gone. We sold the house. It is gone. It was a little sad for me. I don't think anybody else in my house cares, but because I was going back to the house here a little bit. I'd go in the backyard and I'd take other plants and I'd do this and that, but now it's gone. We successfully sold the house. Even while other houses all around us in this area are still for sale. And I think that's because I talked to my real estate agent about it, and he goes, listen, houses are moving right now if they're priced right. Everybody's thinking because we live in Nashville that you got to like charge, you know, just tons of money. But he's like, you know, just let's, he said, I can pick a price where houses are selling in this area, you'll still make money, and you can sell the house. And that's what we did, and we sold the house. Now, granted, we also did a lot of work to the house. We did a lot of improvements on it and made that house good, but it worked out. We sold the house. It's very exciting. There's houses that were for sale in the area before we put our house up for sale that are still for sale. And I still get emails seeing houses for sale, and I go, wow, you guys are really trying to get a ton for this house. And I hope they get it. But, you know, we're happy to just be able to sell it. So, but I planted those figs there, and they grew up really tall. They died off in the winter, completely died off, and then they grew back 6-7 foot tall. But, and they formed little figs on there, but the figs never ripened. So I just wonder if they are even going to be able to ripen or if I got to do something different. So what I'd like to do, I got several cuttings now that I think have rooted. So what I want to do is plant some figs just out and about in the open air and see how they do. And then I want to plant some others in the greenhouse to see how they do. Now I may have to actively prune them back to keep them from growing so tall, but I just want to see what happens. Maybe a little extra time in the heat will help them ripen up, and I can get some figs out here. I love a fig. Dang, I love figs. But I got some fruit going out there now. I'm excited about it. I've been collecting leaves. You know, another thing my dad used to do with the dog box, I remember one time he let me and my stepbrothers get in the dog box and then closed the gate and then drove to the hunting club. And then when he got there, he's like, oh, I'm letting these dogs out. And he opened the tailgate and me and my stepbrothers got out. And that was a big hit. It was a big hit. I like to think there was one guy there who goes, oh, I don't know if you should put your kids in there like that. He probably would have got shamed out of the hunting club. I loved a hunting club. There used to be, it felt like there was a lot of that back in the day, and maybe there still is. I'm just not running in those circles, but you know, men would just get together and they would go to these hunting clubs and they would just hang out for the weekend and they would drink and they would cook meat. And I remember one particular one. This was a guy my mom was seeing. They would go and cook meat and just drink at night and hang out and then go hunting in the mornings. My dad was a part of a club. Now he might have did stuff like that when I wasn't around, but when I would go, he would just go hang out. And I remember playing little horseshoes out there, stuff like that, just kind of hanging out at the hunting club. And that's fun. I like a good hunting club hang. I got an email. I want to read this email. Let's see. This was a good one. Sorry. Okay. I'm a big fan of your comedy and your podcast. I appreciate your stories and look on life. I can identify with a lot of your past work history and questionable choices regarding substances. See, smoking and dipping at the same time. That's a lot of fun. Smoking, I used to, oh man, we used to dip, and me and my buddies, we were dipping. I got some home videos of the dipping. I'd love to work those in. Probably not going to happen because I'm doing this podcast late. So my social media team's not even going to really have time to do anything, but I'd love to work some of those videos in. But we used to go out drinking and we'd be dipping. And then once you finish your first beer, you know, you'd have the bottle and you would start spitting in that bottle. And then you'd drink out of the other bottle. And then once in a while, you'd get it confused. And that's always a lot of fun. All right, here we go. Continuing on. Like you, I have a small family who I care deeply about. I've been trying to quit drinking for a bit. My wife and I set a goal to stop drinking during the week and only on weekends. This works. However, I just binge on those weekends and get pretty nasty. I think about your bit about blacking out and how your brain is telling you, you don't want to see this, and it applies to me. yeah, they call that being a weekend warrior. Sorry, that's disgusting. But that's where you, you know, you don't drink during the week, and then on the weekends, you really hit it hard. All right, here we go. How do I stop drinking altogether? I see a therapist regularly, and that has helped. I like when you say, I can't stop drinking. It's Tuesday. I got a wedding this month. What do you do to cut out those smaller instances so you don't have a dumb blowout? You know, it's different for everybody, right? But what works for me with not drinking is you just have to stop altogether. You have to give up the lie that we tell ourselves that drinking is the only way life will be fun. I don't think I'm that fun of a person. I don't mean I'm boring or lame. I don't think I'm extremely fun. I think I'm a more serious person than I was when I drank. But I feel better. I enjoy my life more. But I remember one time waiting tables. I was waiting on a table and a guy came in and this guy told me that he was diagnosed with diabetes. I don't know if that's exactly the term, but he had to quit drinking because of it. And it made me so sad that I was just like, oh man. And I really had the thought, like I was being a rational person where I was like, I want to drink my whole life. I enjoy drinking. I envision myself as an old man hanging out by some water somewhere, a lake or the ocean, just having drinks with my friends. There's a podcast clip with Bert Kreischer where he's just talking about how much he loves drinking and how he'll always keep himself in good enough shape to keep drinking because he just loves drinking. And that's how I always viewed it. I didn't keep myself in any kind of shape, but I just love drinking. I was like, this is just what I want to do. I like this. This is what adults do. Adults just drink. But it's just a lie that we tell ourselves. Now, again, I always give this caveat when I'm talking about this sort of stuff because there are people that can drink, they can handle it, they don't have a problem, and their lives are fine. So if you can do all that, by all means, do it. I mean, you know, I'm not telling anyone to stop drinking. But it's when we start doing these things where we go, All right. I'm noticing that this is a problem for me, drinking. So how do I regulate it? How do I put myself on some kind of regulator to where I can do it, you know, and it still work for me? The only way for people like this, in my opinion, is to just quit doing it. And, you know, I made those jokes because those jokes are true, where I would go, I'd quit drinking, but I got a wedding this weekend, or, you know, I got a graduation party and I got a drink there, or I've been invited to this football game, or, oh no, I'm going out with my friends this weekend, so I can't quit drinking now. Now I got a buddy coming into town and it'd be a real bummer for him if I weren't drinking when he got here, or, oh, I got an open mic and I, you know, when I do this open mic, me and my buddies, we all love to get hammered. We have to get hammered. We have to tell our jokes and then get so blackout drunk that we embarrass ourselves and pee our pants in the parking lot. You know, it's like we just tell ourselves these lies. And I don't know if we're telling ourselves these lies or if this is a deliberate attack from Satan in our lives. People don't like to believe this sort of stuff because people, you know, they feel like it's a scapegoat mentality where you're like, oh, Satan's doing it to you, huh? And I'm going, you know, and I'm saying there are attacks by Satan. Now, not everything going on in our life is an attack by Satan, but probably it is. But so many people like to put things on their own shoulders and they say, no, this is my problem and I got to deal with this. And I think it just makes it harder to deal with. Whereas if you just say, well, you know what? I'm being attacked. This is an attack. This is not who I am. I'm not the kind of person that wants to binge drink on the weekends. I don't want to be blacking out. I don't want to be a weekend warrior. This is not who I am. This is not who God designed me to be. I'm being attacked. This attack, for most of us, is a long, drawn out battle, and Satan has waged war on us for a long time. And I just watched a video. Oh gosh, that video is probably way too back in my search history to find, but I'm gonna give it an attempt because I might have talked about this last week. Yeah, the video is called Millennial Brainwashing - quote nice guy. Oh, no. That's the second one. I've not watched that one yet. This one's called How Millennials Were Brainwashed, and it's Hyperborean Knowledge. I don't know anything about this guy, but I watched this video. It's very good. How Millennials Were Brainwashed. And he gets into it, and if in a lot of the videos he shows, it's movies, TV shows, music videos, and it's all people that we would have grown up watching in the 90s, just pitching a degenerate lifestyle to us, to where they're like, yes, go have sex. Yes, go get drunk. Yes, go get high. Listen to this music. Be violent. Try to fight people. You're the best. You're the strongest. Get money. Wear expensive-looking clothing. Drive fast. Listen to loud music. Have sex. They love to just pile on the have sex. All these things, they pushed on us so hard. And then we come out on the other side and we're a mess. It's no wonder I drank like I did in my 20s. I had people around me, I'm sorry if your kids are listening to this, I had men around me going, oh, once you get married, it's just you just having sex with one woman for the rest of your life. So you might as well get out there and have all the fun you can have. And it's like, what kind of messaging is that? That's satanic messaging. It's a terrible message because there is no fulfillment in any of that, meaning that not only do you don't feel good when you're doing all that, but when you finally do settle down, you're not in your mind like, oh, yeah, I'm glad I did all those things. glad I, quote unquote, got it out of my system. There's no system. There's no system that these things are living inside of. The one sinful act just feeds into another sinful act. It's like cigarettes. I haven't smoked a cigarette in, 13 years. But I bet if I smoked a cigarette right now, I'd go, oh, dang, that was pretty good. I think I'll smoke another one. I think I will have another one because that was good. There's no fulfillment in any of it, People, they get married in their early 20s, and you see them, if they get divorced in their 30s and they go, well, I got married too young. I just didn't get to experience anything. And it's like, well, no, you got convinced that you got married too young and you got convinced that there was more out there. There's not more out here. I did all of those things in my 20s. And in my early 30s, I didn't get married until I was 35. And I'm not better for it. I have a few jokes. But my memories are mostly, I have fun times with my friends. But for the most part, the memories are memory. They're mental scars that I wish I didn't have. So I'm saying all this to say, the way to quit drinking is to just quit. It seems like it's a more complicated answer than that. But the thing is, you quit and then you stay quit. You never allow yourself to even have a sip of alcohol, because the moment you do, you'll go, oh, that's fun. Because the reality is, it is fun. It is fun to drink. It is fun to lose control. I've said it many times, a bit of a control freak myself in a way. I don't like to use that terminology necessarily, but I am. My dad's controlling. I'm controlling. And I fight it. I am aware of it and I fight it, but I overanalyze everything and I go, all right, this is the best way to do it. After my complete overanalysis, this is the best way to do it. So then I have a hard time changing because I'm like, no, this is the best way. When I drank, I would completely lose control, and I love it. I mean, it's very freeing to where you're like, ah, it feels good to not care about anything. But the not caring goes too far to where you're like, oh, you need to care about some things. You can't not care about everything. So you got to quit drinking. You just got to do it. You can't be a weekend warrior. The hard thing that I never had to deal with is that you're married and your wife also drinks, presumably based on the email. So you both got to do it, because you see this happen with couples that meet each other in rehab or whatever. I'm not saying every couple is like this, but I'm saying you see these examples where they both go to rehab and then they meet each other. And then they go, okay, well, this will be good because we're both wanting to stay sober and we're both wanting to stay off drugs. But then if one gets pulled in, they pull the other one in, because deep down with a lot of these addictions, thankfully my addiction was alcohol, right? I mean, I know it's a serious one and it destroys a lot of lives, but, it wasn't cocaine, it wasn't meth, it wasn't heroin. But a lot of these people, they're in recovery, but they still want to do it, So it's a fight every day to stay off of it. So when you're with someone and they're like, I want to do it, and then they pull you in. So if you're a married couple, you got to decide not to do it together, and then you can just never do it. I've told this story before, one time being in church, taking a sip of communion wine that I thought was grape juice and ended up being real wine. And I thought I was going to leave church and go to happy hour. I mean, I felt it running through me. And I thought, oh, man. I mean, if I had done two shots of communion wine, which I don't think you do, but if I had done two shots, I would have went to the bar. It's no question. To this day, I will not try it. My wife orders a drink or somebody I'm with orders a drink and they go, ooh, that's really good. I'll never try it. I stay far away from non-alcoholic beers. I know a lot of people that quit drinking and they'll have non-alcoholic beers. I stay far away. I think even the taste of alcohol would bring me back into it. And maybe I'm too paranoid, right? Maybe I'm being too extreme and I think, oh, you know, and maybe, you know, there's a lot of maybes. Maybe I'm mature now and I could handle it. I could handle a beer or two. But it's not worth it. The risk far outweighs anything I would gain from it. And I can tell you, even with my own experience with cigars, that I'm not better. Because I can go for a while without a cigar, and then I have one, and I go, oh, wow, that's good. That does feel good. And then I want to dive right back in. And it's, you know, it's a struggle. So I've always used nicotine as kind of my barometer. But there's a Bible verse, and I'm going to read it. I just did a different podcast today, and I talked about some of this on there, but they said it doesn't come out till January. So, but this is Ecclesiastes. Someone posted somewhere that they bet Ecclesiastes is my favorite chapter of the Bible or book of the Bible. And I don't know why they said that. I don't know if that was an insult to me or not. But it is one of my favorites. I think it's very overlooked. Proverbs gets all the credit. Psalms gets all the credit. But Ecclesiastes is great. But this is Ecclesiastes 6:7. I've known this verse for a really long time. I don't have very many verses memorized. But I always say this one in a different way. I think I had a different version back in the day. But this is the King James Version. It's Ecclesiastes 6:7. It says, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet his appetite is not filled. The verse I had memorized is, all man's efforts are for his mouth, yet his appetite is not satisfied. Let's see if that's NIV, because that's what I used to read. I'm against it now. Some people told me NIV's fine, but I disagree with them. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see. NIV says, no, that's even, it's much worse. Everyone's toil is for their mouth, toil is for their mouth, yet their appetite is never satisfied. Yeah, it's a worse version, as I said before. But I think it's true. I mean, it is true. It's like, there is no amount of sin fulfillment where you go, you know, at some point in my life, I will have sinned enough to where I'll want to live a righteous life. It only leads to more. It only leads to more. So give up that. So I know this has been a long way around getting to this email, but my advice is to just stop. And I'm not saying it's easy. I struggled with it for many, many years, but eventually I did stop. And I feel good now. A lot of people have been in support of the fasting day. Thank you for that email, by the way. Support of the fasting day. I don't have a day in mind, but let's just look at the calendar right now. And let's see if people are into this. What about, now I know, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up. But what about November 19th? Now, I'm saying that because I'm off that day. A lot of people may have to work, so maybe that doesn't work. If that doesn't work, I'm going to propose 10 days later, November 29th. Post in the Facebook group and let me know, or in the comments of the YouTube video, let me know which works best for you. What do you think? November 19th, November 29th. For a fast day. And there's some proposals on what we could fast for. Here's one. I am interested in participating in a fasting day. Some things we could pray for might be safety for our communities, housing solutions for the homeless, and food for those dealing with poverty and hunger. You know, I'm into that. I think that's great. I think those are symptoms of more of a society in decline. I think our, you know, not to be negative about our country, but I think our country is for sure in decline. I think it's going downhill constantly, all the time, getting worse. I think depending on where you're at in your life, what part of the country you live in, your financial circumstances, it could be better for you than for other people around. But I think overall, quality of life in the country is getting worse. I think prices for everything continue to go up. Property taxes, which is total robbery. Property taxes, total robbery that we have no control over. You know, it's like, you know, your mayor comes in and just, in Nashville, they do it all the time. They raise the property tax all the time now. For what? They say it gets us things, but, you know, I don't see it. I don't see what the improvements are. We don't pay state tax here, but if you own your own business, then you're back to paying state tax. So, I think we could pray for the healing of our nation, for revival in the country, for a spiritual awakening. Because I just felt more compelled to talk about, you know, the Bible and about Jesus on the podcast more than ever. I know that it's not necessarily what people signed up for with this podcast. You expect a comedy podcast, and I get it. I know that's not exactly what people have signed up for, but I just feel more led by it. I feel like there is no better time than right now to just pray for the spiritual direction of our country. The Bible says, if you believe the Bible, Jesus says, I am the only way to heaven. So there are not multiple paths. Lots of people want to say those things because they want to make other people feel better. But if you believe, you know, it's like people have said, oh, so you just believe your religion is right then and all others are wrong. And it's like, well, yeah, that's why you believe a thing. You don't, you know, I've said this before, but you don't believe, you don't go, oh yeah, I believe in my religion, but chances are it's wrong. Chances are this other one's right, but I believe mine. You believe yours because you think it's right. The same way other people believe theirs because they think it's right. It shouldn't hurt their feelings that you say my religion is the right one. Christianity is for everyone. You know, Jesus is for everyone. So, and he says, I'm the only way to heaven. No one gets to the Father but through me. He's very clear about it. I think that would be good. This person has proposed December 3rd. I mean, that works for me too. I feel like there's no need to really push it out that far. November 19th, November 29th. I'm off, you know, both of those days. The 29th, the reason I picked it is because, you know, that's a Saturday. A lot of people might be off work then too. I'm for it, you know, but we can also pick a thing to pray about during this fast. But I do think God, recognizes our sacrifices when we fast. And I would like to get myself on a regular, more monthly fast. I've always said I want to do a weekly one, but I'm not sure. You know, I am sure. I'm just saying I've not done it. I've never really held myself to that standard, even though I would like to do that. I think it'd be great. I'm all about it. So more people are in support of it. I say let's do it. Post in the Facebook page, that We're Having a Good Time Facebook page, or on the comments of this video. And we'll make it happen. And I appreciate the emails that I got. Here's another one. Bit of a lighter tone. This guy said, that bit about not measuring twice and cutting once, but rather measuring once and cutting as many times as you need, had me dying. I always run into that problem when I'm cutting anything. I could measure 1,000 times and still get it wrong. Love the podcast. Always miss when you're not on Nateland. Thank you. I love building stuff, but what I don't have, I don't know what's called, maybe a table saw, where you lay the wood under there and then the saw spins and then you drop it down and it cuts right across. I don't have one of those. I may get one because I'm more into building now than I ever have been. I have a circular saw and my cutting is never straight. Never straight, never been straight, never going to be straight as long as I'm using that kind of saw. But I love building stuff, and the stuff that I build always works. It always holds up, and it always works, but it ain't never been straight, never going to be straight. I would not even build things for other people, but I will build my own stuff all day, every day. I built a few plant racks in this house already. My one plant rack actually looks pretty good, but I wouldn't say it's straight. But it is pretty good. I feel good about it. I didn't work this weekend, so I didn't go on any adventures. I did hang out in McMinnville a little bit. I went back to the barbecue restaurant. What is it? Collins River Barbecue. You know, I used to, when I first started going out to McMinnville, I would go to Collins River Barbecue almost every time I was out there. And I got sick of it. That's where I had a guy. A guy came up to me, really tall server, used to work there, real tall guy. One time I took Connor Larson in there with me. Connor's tall guy. Connor's doing the show with me. Connor reacts now. Connor's a real tall guy. And the guy said to Connor, he goes, oh, man, you're real tall, huh? He goes, you got a girlfriend? And Connor did not at the time. He goes, no. He goes, I bet you get a lot of girls, huh? And it was just such a weird thing. It's like, are you hitting on Connor? Are you trying to say that you also get a lot of girls? I mean, what's going on here? Weirded me out, weirded Connor out. Same guy, one time I'm in there, and Collins River does not have barbecue chicken. Real disappointment for me as a person that doesn't eat pork. They got no barbecue chicken. I said to the guy one day, I go, you guys don't have barbecue chicken? He goes, barbecue chicken? I never heard of that. And I said to him, I go, are you serious? And that's not a thing I say to people. I don't say, are you serious, to people. But standing there, working at a barbecue restaurant, one that I've known you've worked at for a long time, and telling me you've never heard of barbecue chicken, I don't believe you. I don't believe that you've never heard of barbecue chicken. And then the booth behind me, people come in and they sit in that booth. And then that same server goes over to them and I hear the guy ask for barbecue chicken. And the server goes, why is everybody asking for barbecue chicken today? He goes, why is everybody asking for barbecue chicken today? And I'm like, you're telling me in all the years you've worked here, no one has ever asked you for barbecue chicken. And now today, two people back-to-back asked you about barbecue chicken. I just don't believe you. I don't believe you. And so I kind of stopped going. It was not good. But I went again with my family. My brother-in-law, my sister, my nephew, my mom. They all live in outside of Chattanooga, Cleveland, Tennessee. So they came up to McMinnville. And then me and my wife and my kids all ate at Collins River. And we really liked it. The service was really good. The food was really good. And we got a variety of stuff. Nobody got any of the same thing. We got some cheese curds. We got some fried green tomatoes. I had chicken fingers. We got a club sandwich. My nephew had a pulled pork sandwich. Just proof that my family doesn't listen to me and that I'm not judging people. My brother-in-law, I forget what he had. My mom had some wings. Hannah had a vegetarian option. We had a variety, and we loved it. It's a hot spot. McMinnville's great. I love it. I almost went to a community auction. My neighbor invited me to a community auction, but I was already starting to feel sick, and we had a full-size bed for our guest room, and then when we bought this house, they left a king-size bed. So I gave my mom the full-size mattress, and we took the bed out to the cabin, and we brought back a bunk bed for Sam. So I had a bed to haul, and it was supposed to rain, so we came on back. But it was good. It was a good trip out there. I'm wearing down. My throat is really starting to hurt me, so I'm going to end it just a little short of an hour. I appreciate you guys. Hopefully next week I'm back feeling good. I'll be in Elkhart, Indiana on Friday, Chicago on Saturday. Come see a show. Thank you very much. We're having a good time.